reaches to the highest heavens, hallelujah, lowest parts of this earth, the loving kindness of our Lord, oh hallelujah, tender mercies, hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad He's a gracious God? Not cruel, He's a gracious God. Praise the Lord. Such a wonderful spirit in the house for this first Lord's Supper 2011. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, as you're turning, fill up the prayer rooms tonight. Amen. Fill up the prayer rooms tonight before service. I'd just like us to have what is on my heart to preach on tonight. I just like us to come expecting the unexpected. Hallelujah. Could you do that? Could you come tonight expecting the unexpected? Praise the Lord. Amen. This week, of course, our prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, family worship night. Don't forget that. You give up a Wednesday night, it won't be long. The Sunday night will come under conflict. Friday, 6 to 9 is Junior Friday. Saturday at 9 is the Senior Saints Breakfast. Other things that are coming up, be sure to get a bulletin. Got a baptismal service coming up. When I first scheduled it, we had several that had requested baptism, and not all of those are still here, but if you haven't followed the Lord in water baptism, please see me real soon, and we'll get you on the list to be a candidate for water baptism. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? Verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Verse 7, And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. In verse 2, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I want to preach this morning on the first month. The first month. This is the first month of a new year. January, first month. I want to preach about another first month. Hallelujah. I want to preach about the first month when you had new life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a God that gives a new beginning? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, shut up our minds to the truth. We appreciate the Holy Spirit of truth that has come to take the things of Christ and to make them known to us, that the Father might be glorified. Lord, if there's one here unsaved, may right now, Lord, through the preaching, they surrender their life to you. By the time the elements are passed, they can with honesty of heart participate in this Lord's Supper. Anoint, God, me to speak. Anoint ears to hear in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. We'd hardly made it through Christmas before I heard somebody saying, at the first of next year, I'm going to go on a diet. Anyone hear that yet? Man, we have a non-participatory church because I've already heard a lot say it. We use the first day of the year as marked by our calendar. We use the first year to start something new, to make a new beginning, to make a new start. We call those new year's resolutions. Well, if you've made some, you're within the 45% of Americans that make New Year resolutions. 45% make them. Now, I don't want to discourage you, but only 8% of those that make them, only 8% will keep all their New Year resolutions. And only 1 out of 4 that make New Year's resolutions will keep any of their resolutions. They think the new year, the new month, the first month is a time to make resolutions, but they're trying to do it on their own, and that doesn't work out very well. But God, in our text, He was giving His people a new beginning, a new start, a new life. And so He gave them a new calendar to coincide with the new life that He was going to give them. Hallelujah. The start with God, a new start, meant the beginning of a new year. And that works better than for us. A new year marks the beginning of a new start. How many's heard that expression, this is the first day of the rest of your life? You've heard that? Amen. I want you to know, when you got saved, it was the first day of a new life. It was the first day of eternal life. Your spiritual life, your eternal life, began the day that Jesus set you free. It began the day, amen, you were delivered. And when God delivers by the blood of His Son, that means new life, a new beginning. On the first month, amen, on the first month of this year, may we remember the first day of our new life in Christ Jesus. How many can remember the first day of your new life in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's see how all this came about. First of all, I want you to notice in our story today the change of the calendar. I read the verses to you that the Lord spake, and in verse 2 He said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Even the change of the calendar tells us what happened. God was going to deliver His people. Even God was going to set His people free after 400 years of horrible bondage. For generations, for 400 years, the people of God, Israel, had been under the hand of hard taskmasters. They had been slaves. They had been forced to do slave labor. They had lost their very children to the edicts of the Pharaoh to take their children, their man-child, and to kill them. They had had their homes separated. They had been killed and slaughtered and beaten with the whip for 400 years. But God came and said, you cannot save yourself. You cannot free yourself. But with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to bring you out of bondage. I'm going to take you out of the land of the hard taskmaster and give you a land that flows with milk and with honey. Oh, hallelujah. God said this. He didn't say, wait for the new year, and at the new year, I'll bring deliverance to you. God said, no, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to deliver you. And once you're delivered, I'm going to start the calendar all over again. So the very first month of your calendar will be the very first month that you had as free folk, as delivered folk, as folk living a new life. He's the God of new beginnings, and He changed the whole calendar to prove it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. God said, I'm going to start the year over and make it a new year to go with your new life. I'll change the whole calendar. And because I'm changing the whole calendar, ever consequent celebration, amen, of the anniversary of your being set free, amen, will be at the first of your year. Every time a new year comes around, it'll be the anniversary of when you've been set free. free. Oh, we like to sing, I never shall forget the day. Oh, how many can remember the day when he saved you? God said, I'm going to fix it so every time a new year comes, it's going to coincide with the anniversary when I delivered you from the bondage of the wicked one. That's what we're celebrating this first month with this first communion. Hallelujah. God changed the calendar. Their year would start with the celebration of the feast of the Passover, the night when God delivered them from bondage, the night that God set them free, the night that God gave them new life. God gave Israel a new calendar to go with her new life. Up to this point, the first of the year for Jerusalem or for the Jews corresponded with our month of September. They believed that God created the world in the month of Tisri, and that would coincide with our month of September. But God set Israel free and what corresponds to our month of April or March, and they call that the month of Nisan, the month of Abib. And so here they were at September, and God said, in September I'm going to set you free, but when I get you set free, we're just going to start the year over. Oh, 5 months different. But he said, we're changing the calendar to go with your changed life. I'm telling you, he's still a God that changes life. He's still a God of new life. He's still the God that delivers from the bondage of sin. He'll give you a new life. Hallelujah. And on your calendar will be the anniversary when true life began for you. Hallelujah. I begin to think of this. God said, this month shall be the beginning unto you. In other words, he's the God of beginnings. Amen. So often, so many people cannot rearrange their schedule, plan their day or week, or schedule anything of their month, make room in their month for God. But God said, I'm going to change everything for you. I'll change the schedule. I'll change the calendar. I'll set you free. Deliverance for Israel was the beginning of freedom from bondage. And so every new year for Israel from that point began with the festival, began with the celebration in the first month, began with Passover to celebrate, to bring to mind, to relive what God had done for them. He was the God that had delivered them, and he changed the calendar. Secondly, in the story, we see the application of the blood. Amen. This tells us what it took for this to happen. What it took for this to happen. In verse 3, Moses said, tell them to take every man a lamb. A lamb. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 22, it says that Moses told them to take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood. He meant, in other words, there was going to be an event, the Passover, that would set them free. But before that could happen, before there was a deliverance from bondage, something needed to be done that would mark their passage from bondage to freedom. And very simply, Moses said, God's going to set you free, but it's going to take a lamb. It's going to take a lamb. Oh, hallelujah. He said, everybody, every head of a household, go get a lamb without spot or blemish. I'm going to set you free, but it's going to take a lamb. How many knows it's free this morning from sin? It took a lamb. It took a lamb. It took the, oh, hallelujah. Praise God, and the lamb forever. Amen. And hallelujah. That's what John the Revelator saw in heaven, was the Lamb of God. Amen. It took a lamb. The Passover would take place with a meal, and that meal would be marked by two things: unleavened bread and the death of a lamb. That's what God required on the night that he set Israel free. It was through the death of the Lamb that Israel was protected from the death that convinced Pharaoh in Egypt to let Israel go. It was the death of the Lamb that produced the blood that would be applied on each house. If that Lamb had not died, there would not have been blood to apply to the top of the door and the side post. It took the death of the Lamb to provide the blood. I'm telling you, it took the death of the Lamb of God to provide the blood that has been applied to our hearts and brought deliverance to our soul. Amen. It was the blood on their homes that marked the line between their old lives as slaves and their new lives as a delivered, set free children of God. It was the application of the blood of the Lamb on our heart that marked the line between our old life and our new life. It wasn't going to church. It wasn't water baptism. It wasn't signing a book. The thing that marked the line between our old life and our new life was the application of the blood. Oh, hallelujah. There is power in the blood. It was a celebration of this day, Passover, that Jesus was celebrating with his 12 disciples when he took the elements of that celebration, bread, unleavened bread and wine. And he said, we're celebrating the Passover when God set Israel free. But I'm here to establish a new covenant. Hallelujah. I'm here to give a new deliverance, not from Egypt, but from sin. And he took the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. He gave the cup and said, drink, this is my blood. What Jesus was doing was taking the celebration of the Passover and giving it new significance for we, the church, to come. And therefore, the Passover of the Jew became the communion of the Christian. Hallelujah. The Passover of the Jew, they celebrated deliverance from Egypt's bondage. The communion, we celebrate deliverance from sin and Satan and hell. And in both occasions, it was the death of the Lamb that brought it all about, that made it all possible. Jesus, when he said, drink, this is my blood, eat, this is my body, he was saying, I am the ultimate Passover Lamb. I am the final Passover Lamb. No more killing the animal, because I am the Lamb that is going to bring deliverance. 1400 years ago, Jesus said, amen, Israel killed a lamb. Amen. But now I am that Lamb. The Lamb was always the integral part of the celebration of the Passover. So much so that the word Passover that referred to the feast became the word that referred to the Lamb. Let me give you an example in Mark chapter 14. It says, in the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, the name for the feast became the name of the Lamb that would die on the feast day. And so from that point on, when they took the Lamb to kill it for the Passover, they pointed to the Lamb and said, there is my Passover. We're going to take my Passover and we're going to kill it. Amen. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Listen, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. When it says Christ our Passover, it's saying Christ the Lamb that died to shed his blood that it might be applied in our hearts, so we know not death but liberty. Hallelujah. I also want you to notice that the instruction was to apply the blood on the lintel, the top, and apply the blood on the side post, that they were to be careful that no blood was put on the threshold. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is never to be disrespected, trodden underfoot. But the blood of Jesus is always to be reverenced and exalted. Folks want to take it out of the preaching, take it out of the singing, say it's primitive and old-fashioned. What they're doing is putting the blood on the threshold. The blood doesn't go on the threshold to be walked on. It's to be on the side post and on the lintel. Amen. Some folks hear the gospel over and over and refuse to heed it. You've just put the blood on the threshold. Amen. The Bible says to reject Christ is to trod underfoot the Son of God and to count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. It doesn't belong on the threshold. It belongs in an exalted place applied to our hearts. Hallelujah. And from that day to this, the blood of the Lamb equals deliverance, freedom, a new life. Then in our story, we see the covering of God's protection. This tells us how this first month celebration happened. How it happened. Verse 11. Ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet. And last part of the verse, it is the Lord's Passover. They named it Passover because that's what was going to happen. Verse 12. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. This day shall be a memorial to you. Amen. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your houses to smite you. Amen. I read it to you twice. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We sing it as a song. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And with that, I'd like to say most people misunderstand what God said when he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They miss it. They miss what God said. Amen. I just read where one preacher said, this Sunday morning's going really well. Many are yawning, but few are dozing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just stick with me just for a second here. I didn't see any yawns. I just thought of that. Praise the Lord. Many are called, few are chosen. It's good when few are dozing. Amen. Hallelujah. They miss this. They read it like God said, when I see the blood, I won't come into that house. I'll bypass that house. I'll go around that house. I'll sidetrack that house and not come and kill anyone. That's not what it says, Brother Wilson. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. The word Passover literally means to extend the arms or to extend the wings. If you're talking about a bird, like a mother hen, she would pass over her wings over the chicks. A father would pass over his arm around his child to protect. Let me give you an illustration of that. Josh, would you mind helping me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not going to be big enough to do all this. But here's what God said. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, that he would stretch forth his arms. Amen. Let's make it a little. There you go. Stretch forth his arms. Amen. Over. He would pass over. Amen. God can do it all. Amen. Josh can't. Let's have some help. Amen. Grant, will you help me? You be the other side. God said, when I see the blood, I will stretch over my arm. I will stretch over my wings. And when the plague comes, when the destroyer comes, amen, Luke, be my destroyer. Amen. When the destroyer comes, he won't be able to get to you. Amen. Because when he comes to your house, he's going to encounter me, the Lord God, and he's not going to be able to get through God to get at those that are in the house with the blood applied. That's what it literally literally means God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll stretch out my arm. I'll stretch out my wing. And when the plague comes, when the destroyer comes, he'll not be able to come nigh you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if the blood has been applied to your heart, God has stretched forth his arm, stretched forth his wing, and when the plague comes, when the destroyer comes, it won't be able to get into the soul where the blood has been applied. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him this morning. Glory to God. Guys, if you'll just stay there just for another second. The blood was on the sides and on the top to symbolize the extent of the protective covering of God. The covering was on all sides and over the top. God had passed on the sides and over the top, and the people in the house had the complete protection and coverage, amen, of God, so that the destroyer couldn't get to him. Amen. We're talking about the first month. How many's glad to know on the first month of a new year that if you have the blood applied, you've got God's covering? I said you've got God's covering over you. I said you, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be the Christian. Come on, Luke, be the Christian. Now you're the Christian. The blood now is applied to the heart. And when God sees the blood, he stretches forth his arm, his wing. Amen. He covers a believer. And when the destroyer would come, hallelujah, help me, Nathan. Amen. When the destroyer would come, amen, to get at the believer, to take the peace, to take the joy, to destroy the relationship, he can't. Oh, because God has passed over. I'm telling you, Jesus is our Passover. He has come, and by his blood, he has put the protective covering over us. I wouldn't want to live outside the blood of Jesus. Are you glad on a new year we got the Passover? Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. We can sing the song, I'm covered, covered, covered by the blood. And the destroyer can't get to me. He can't cross the bloodline. We need to get back to victory as believers. We have our Passover. The enemy can't get to us. And then last of all, there was the beginning of new life. This is what happened because what happened. Verse 11, God said, you shall eat the feast, ready to take a journey, because I'm going to set you free. Have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste, because you're getting out of here. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even from the first day, that would be from the 14th day of the month, you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever shall eat leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, from day 14 to day 21, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For this is the selfsame day I have brought your armies, your people, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Why did God mention all this about after the lamb had been killed, after the blood had been applied? Why did he mention for them to go 7 days without eating unleavened bread? Unleavened bread, bread without leaven, leaven symbolizing sin and uncleanness and corruption. Unleavened bread is the bread of purity and cleanliness and incorruption. First there came the sacrifice of the lamb, the Passover, and then there were 7 days of unleavened bread. Why did God have that? Why? Because after the application of the blood of the lamb, there should be a new way of living. You kill the lamb, you apply the blood, I set you free. But when you celebrate this, you go 7 days, a full week, a complete week, eating no unleavened bread to symbolize that the application of the blood brought about a new life, a life without sin, a life without corruption. Oh, that's what that lamb symbolized when the blood was applied. They didn't live as slaves anymore. They lived as the free people, worshipers of God, folks bound to the promised land. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you have really, genuinely had the blood applied to your heart, it will lead to a new life. I don't believe it when someone says, I've been saved. They live the same way. They have the same bondage. They think the same thoughts. They have the same desires. They walk in the same corruption. They've not yet been set free and had the... Oh, but if the blood's been applied, if Jesus has set them free, they're going to walk in the newness of life. Go 7 days to make it complete. The totality of your life in Christ will be a life that is different than before the blood was applied. How many found that to be true? That's what that symbolizes. They're to remember that God set them free, and being set free, that led to a new life. Hallelujah. Are you glad He set you free? We're about down. God told them to keep this Passover. As far as we can tell, after the first one, when they got to the wilderness, they partook of it one time in the wilderness, and then because of their sin and unbelief, they were condemned to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And in the 40 years of their unbelief and wandering, they didn't partake of the Passover, not one time. The celebration was gone. It'll always be that way. Let unbelief set in, that disobedience, it'll not only keep you out of the promised land, it'll keep you from being able to celebrate the Passover. Amen. So they didn't keep it. But 40 years later, amen, God took Moses to heaven, appointed Joshua to be the leader of God's people. And guess when God led him up to Jordan River? Guess when God caused the water of Jordan River to roll back? And guess when they walked across Jordan River? It was the first month. Hallelujah. And the first thing they did in the new land as far as celebration and worship, the first thing they did was have the Passover again. Why? Because at the very first Passover, God said, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to lead you out of bondage. But number two, I'm going to lead you into a land of promise. Oh, hallelujah. They kept the first Passover. God led them out. When they crossed over Jordan, amen, they had the second Passover. Amen. A celebration to say God was true to His word and He led us in. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the land of promise is the land of victory. It's the land of the fullness of the Spirit. It's the land of walking in the light. It's the land of victory over the enemy, the flesh, the world. And I'm telling you, this communion this morning, not only do we celebrate that He brought us out of bondage, we are celebrating that He has brought us into the land of promise, the land of victory. Oh, hallelujah. We don't have to sit here without victory. We've got the Passover, and He's bringing us in to the promised land. We've got a lot to celebrate. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Jesus sets us free to give us a new life, to live it. Several years ago, I don't know much about the guy. All I know is he hawked grills. But George Foreman, he gave the testimony of how he got saved. I'm just going to tell you his words from his book, or his testimony. He said, he'd just been in a fight with Jimmy Young. I don't know who that is either. I don't know if he won or lost that. Did he win? I wasn't trying to trap you. That's okay. George Foreman said after that fight, he went to the locker room and he was rubbing his face. I guess he got banged up in the head and he is rubbing his face. He said, when I took my hands away, I looked at both of them and both of them were covered with blood. And from having bowed my head over, I looked at my feet and both of my feet had blood on them. And he said at that moment,
God gave me a picture of Christ dying for me. And he said, I looked at my hands and looked at my feet and felt the blood on my head and said, Jesus, that's what you did for me so I could be set free from sin. And right there in the locker room, he gave his heart and life to God. And I like what he said. He said, up to that time, I never read the Bible, had no interest to read the Bible. But he said, from that day, I wanted to read the Bible, and I read it over. Oh, he was talking about the unleavened bread, the new life. Hallelujah. I think we need to take again a look at the blood on his hands and the blood on Christ's feet and the blood on his head and know that he did that. Hallelujah. So we could be delivered from sin, live the new life, and have the protective covering of God over our lives. Oh, are you glad this morning you can say, I'm covered. I'm covered by the blood. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, I want to tell you, God wants to save you. God wants to give you new life. God wants to give you a new beginning. And it still takes place with the application of the blood. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us with his blood from all unrighteousness. He'll apply the blood and you can be set free, and you can rise from an altar this morning, from a pew, to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Oh, you glad for the gospel? Amen. As the singers and the servers come, would you lift your heart and hands all over the building? Let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him. Come on, if you're covered, lift your hands and say, thank God for passing over me. Thank you for covering me. To pass over doesn't mean you bypass me. To pass over means you've extended your protection over me. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.